So the Torah calls him a tzaddik and a tummy. He was a righteous person, and he was a perfect person. Later on, the Torah uses a lashon, Vayomer Hashem l'Noach, you and your entire family should come to the table. I saw you a tzaddik in this generation. So Rashi later on asks the question, why is it in the beginning that the Torah calls him a tzaddik tamim, a righteous and a perfect tzaddik? And over here it says, ki oyscho ra'isi tzaddik b'dor hazeh. It doesn't call him a tzaddik tamim. Rashi answers that when we speak about a person shaloi b'fonav, we say his entire shvach, we say all of his ma'ilus. Over there, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is talking to him directly, mitzvah shvachai b'fonav. B'fonav, we only say mitzvah shvachai. But there's a different beautiful pshat that's set over b'shem the Beis Yosef, and I saw that it's brought down from Rabbi Yeshua Leib Diskin Amiri the Kipshat. Tzadik and tamim are two different ma'ilus. The word tzaddik is used when someone lives in a generation with his tremendous immorality, with his znus, with his perversion. So a person that's a tzaddik is one that does not allow himself to be perverted. He stands up and he's a kodesh. Yosef HaTzadik is called Yosef HaTzadik because he was in Mitzrayim, and Mitzrayim was a land that was full of Zima, and Yosef was able to elevate himself above that situation, so he's called Yosef HaTzadik. Someone that's misgaber over a generation of Avodah Zarah is called the Tamim. Tamim Tiyeh Hashem Elokecha. You should be Tamim with Hashem. Don't go over to other ideologies. Don't go over to Avodah Zarah. Tamim Tiyeh Hashem Elokecha. Tzadik is someone that stands up against Znus. Tamim is someone that stands up against Avodah Zarah. Memela. Ela told us, Noach, Noach is tzaddik tamim haya b'day reisav. Noach lived over different generations. Noach lived in the Dor HaMavol, and Noach also lived in the Dor HaFlogit. In the Dor HaMavol, he was a tzaddik. The Dor HaMavol was primarily mushkis and znus, so in that Dor he stood out as a tzaddik. He was makavish himself, he didn't give in to his tzaddikus. In the Dor HaFlogit, Nimrod, which was primarily Avodah Zarah, over there he was a tamim, tamim tiyem Hashem Elokecha. So the Torah originally, when it introduces him, Noach is tzaddik hamohaya b'day reisav. In general, throughout the generations, Noach showed that he was a tzaddik, and Noach also showed that he was a tzaddik. But over here, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is talking to him in the Dor HaMavol, he says, you and your family come into the table, ki oyscho reisi tzaddik b'dor hazeh. In this generation of the Mabul, where everybody else was Isaac and Znus, that's when Noach showed that he was a tzaddik. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was talking to him, was in the generation of the Mabul, that's why he only called him a tzaddik. In general, over the generations, he was a tzaddik and a tamim. Tzaddik l'gabi Znus, tamim l'gabi Avodah Zarah. Here, when Hashem is addressing him by the Mabul, ki oyscho reisi tzaddik b'dor hazeh. As I saw, Rabbi Yeshua Leib Diskin. Vayomer Elokim l'Noach, Kates kol bosor bo lefonai. The end of all flesh has come before me. Ki molo ha'oretz chomos mipneihem. Because the world was filled with robbery. V'hinoni mashchisam es ha'oretz. And behold, I will destroy them from the earth. What is the taich of Kates kol bosor, the end of all flesh? So Rashi says that the end of all flesh, they were chayte with their flesh, they were Isaac in immorality. Whenever you have perversion, and destruction comes to the world, and it kills good people as well as bad people. So Rashi says, whenever there's nus, it involves, it kills innocent people with righteous people. What was the end of the Gzardin? Because they were stealing from each other, that finished off their fate. So the Mefarshim is Kakasha, the Rashi seems to contradict himself over here. Look, clearly he says, Kesh Kol Bosor Bo Lefonai, that the reason for the destruction is because they're Isaac and Zeus. And at the end it says, Kimoha Oretz Chomos, Wenechtem Gzardinam, Elo Al HaGezel. The end of their fate was because of Gezel. Which one was it? First of all, in Svara, one would think that Avodah Zarah and Gilui Arayis is worse than Gezel. So why was it necessary for Gezel to seal off their fate? And from Rashi it's Mashma, the punishment came because of Zus and Avodah Zarah. And the end of their fate came because of Gezel. So how do you make these two Rashis correspond with each other? This is something that the Mepharshim speak about. Rabbi Yosef Shaul Natanzon says a beautiful mashal for this. Rabbi Yosef Shaul Natanzon answers, he says, the actual Oynish itself came because of Zus and Avodah Zarah. However, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's a Baal HaRachama, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu really could have pushed off the Gzeira to see maybe they'll do tshuva. Hagam, he waited 120 years while Nayak built the Teva, he could have waited longer. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kilo Yechpatz B'mois HaMeis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's a Baal HaRachama. But when he saw that they were stealing from each other, they were azorium to one another, they weren't having rachmonis on one another, that's what sealed their fate. He says, if you're not having rachmonis on you, why should I have rachmonis on you? If you would treat each other nicely, so I will act to you the way you act to your fellow man. But they weren't acting nicely to each other, they were stealing from each other. The Einish came to Akka because of Avodah Zarah and Gilui Arayis. It could have been pushed off though, till they do tshuva. What was the thing that sealed their fate, made it final? There's no more waiting. Leinechtem Gzardinam Ela Ala Gezel. He gives a marshal, says there was a gigantic fish that was chasing after a smaller fish to swallow it up. So finally he catches up with it, and the small fish turns around and starts pleading, please have rachmanis on me, I have a wife and children. And as it's pleading, there's a little fish coming out of its mouth. So the big fish says to it, you're pleading with me for rachmanis when you yourself didn't have rachmanis on the fish that was smaller than you. So how do you expect me to have rachmanis on you? It's the same thing over here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have had the rachmanis. But if he sees people are not merachim on each other, people are azarim against each other, leinechtem gzardinam ela al hagezel. As I said, Rabbi Yosef Shaul Natanzon. V'hinini mashchisom es ha'aretz. And behold, I will destroy them es ha'aretz. What is the meaning of es ha'aretz? So Rashi brings down over here two pshatim. Pshat number one, V'hinini mashchisom es ha'aretz min ha'aretz. I am destroying them from the earth. That's pshat number one. Pshat number two, the word es could also mean with the earth. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not only did he destroy the people, not only did he destroy the animals and the plants, the vegetation, he also wiped away three tefachim of the earth itself. He totally wiped it away and destroyed it. The three tefachim that usually a plow goes into. Three tefachim of the Machreisha. So the question is, why was it necessary to wipe that away? The men, the people, they were Abraham Davis. The animals also, even the plants and the vegetation, it says that they bred with, you know, they were bred with others. They were mixed up. But the land itself, why was it necessary to move away the land? Sir Velia Lopian in the Sefer Leva Liyot says, he's masbered with the Maisa Shehoya. He says, in Russia, years ago, over 100 years ago, there was this old hospital that had been around for many, many years. And they found that people were going into the hospital with one sickness, and they were coming out with a different sickness. And it was, you know, they didn't know what was wrong, so they investigated and they figured out it must be that over the many years that the hospital was standing, the germs had embedded themselves in the walls, and they had to disinfect the walls. So they started scrubbing and whatever, and it didn't work. So Chacham said that the only thing that's going to help is you have to knock down the walls and take out the refuse, the garbage, and then rebuild the walls again. Because they're so ingrained in the walls that it's impossible any other way. Rabbi Lopan is the same thing over here. Aveira is something which is a poison. You know, people think Aveira is I did a bad deed, and you know, the bad deed is forgotten. It's something that I did wrong, but it doesn't have its effect. Aveira is a poison. And that poison has its effect on other people. That poison has its effect on the Bria. That is why tshuva is such a big chiddush. You know, the Velti asks the kasha, like, what's the chiddush? Tshuva is such a big chiddush that it's very hard to understand. What's the big thing? I did something wrong. Shlach lanu, you know, forgive me. The Teretz is because tshuva is not just a bad deed on your part. I'm sorry, aveiros is not just a bad deed on your part. Aveiros, they shaf a poison in the Bria. And if you did something wrong, it spreads that poison. How does that all of a sudden become neutralized? That's the chiddush of tshuva, that not only are you misaking yourself, but the whole bria is neutralized, the poison is neutralized.
Over here, the Aveiru was so great, the Tumah was so widespread, that not only did it affect the people and the animals, but the earth itself became saturated with Tumah. And the only way out was of Rebellion Lopian, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to wipe away the ground itself. There was a Maisa Shahoya in the times of the Noidi Yehuda. When the Noidi Yehuda first became the Rav of Prague, so near the famous Altnai Beis Medrash in Prague, which is still standing, all of a sudden there was a terrible smell. And they couldn't figure out what the source of the smell was. And things started seeping out of the ground. It was a miasa thing. They tried getting rid of it. Nothing worked. So the night of Yehuda, he davened, and he had a kindness because it was a bazaar for the Beis HaKnesses. The right near the Beis HaKnesses, there should be a mokum that smells so terrible. So his grandfather came to him in a dream, and he told him that it came about because many years ago there was somebody that did an Aveira the Farhesia on that mokum, and the Roshim, the mark of that Aveira, still remains in that spot, and the Mela gives off a terrible smell. He says, you wait a while, you know, and the thing will go away. But the Roshim is still there from someone that did an Aveira in that particular spot. So you see, Aveiros and Metzias, it's not something that's just an act on my part. It spreads its poison to the entire breed. And the Melech, that's a Musa Haskel for us today. You know, Rashi is a very scary Rashi. Rashi says, Kol Mokim Shiesh Znus Ba'olam, and Avamusya Ba'ol Ha'olam Ba'hireges Toivim Imroim. You see, a lot of times innocent people, they die. And we don't know what the reason is. And it's very hard for us to pinpoint the reason, of course. But this is one of the reasons. Where the world is suffering from terrible immorality, and that poison spreads into the air. Hayregas Toivim Imran, even innocent people, and people could even be tzaddikim. Hayregas Toivim Imran. The very earth suffers from the poison of immorality. And it's no secret that today we live in a generation of hefkeiros. We live in a generation that's molei tumah, and memela, we have to be very careful. We have to dwell in the bata knesias and the bata midrashes. We have to make sure that our homes are kadosh, our homes are mufkir, they are totally removed from the matzav in the streets. Only in that way can we escape from that terrible poison that we find in the world today. The Torah goes on to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Noach, Va'atoh kach lecho mikol machol asher yeyochel, take for yourself from every food which can be eaten, Va'osafta elecho, and gather it to yourself, Va'hoyo lecho v'bohem lo'ochlo, and it'll be for you and for them to eat. So the Mefarshim ask a question that this pasuk is a little bit redundant. Let's take a look. Va'atayin you kach lechom mikol machol asher yeyochel. The words asher yeyochel are extra. Atok kach lechom mikol machol. Take for yourself from every food. From every food that shall be eaten, what's the purpose of saying asher yeyochel? Va'osafta eilecha, and gather it to yourself. Va'hoyo lecho v'lohem lo'ochlo, should be for you and for them to eat. Again, the Torah repeats itself. Of course, what other reason is it there for, if not for you and for them to eat? So there are two beautiful pshatim over here. One from the Vilna Gaon, and one from Rav Elchanan Vasim, as a Tzadik Livracha. The Vilna Gaon says, it says in Masechtas Yuma that when it says Asher Yeyochel, it means the amount that could be eaten in one gulp. How much is that, Zabdi Gemara? The amount of the egg of a chicken. So the Melech, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Noach, what should be the amount of the Suda? How much should you take? Mikol Meichel Asher Yeyochel, each Suda should be the measurement of an egg. Asher Yeyochel, that could be eaten by Basachas, that's the shear of an egg. But you ask a kasha, I mean, how could that satisfy you? You know, the amount of an egg is not going to satisfy a person. So for that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised, it'll be enough for you to eat, it'll be mizbarak b'meyav. It'll expand in your stomach. Memela, don't worry that it's a small amount and you won't be satisfied. It'll be enough for you and for them. For a full meal, it's going to be mizbarak b'meyav. It'll expand in your stomach. That also explains how it was possible to gather so much food, enough food for everybody. You had the universe, you had the whole world full of animals, plus what a person eats in a year. How is it possible in that small table to be able to store so much food? The Teretz is, Levitas is very good. They stored a bare minimum of a kebeah for everybody. It expanded in their stomach. We call Michael Asher Yeyochel. In one gulp, that's a kebeah. it'll be satisfied with that, it'll be Mizbarach the Meir. That is the pshat from the Vilna Gaon. Rabbi Chanan Wasserman says a second pshat. Rabbi Chanan says it's Yodua, the Ramban says this, it's Yodua that the earth before the Mabul was much stronger and much more potent. It gave off much more nutrients than it did after the Mabul. The Mabul destroyed the potency of the earth. And the fruits gave off a lot more vitamins before the Mabul than it did after the Mabul. And that's why you see that those people that lived before the Mabul lived Be'erach like 1,000 years. Because the fruits gave off such strong vitamins. The ones that lived before the Mabul and made it through the Mabul, they lived after the Mabul, so they already didn't live for that long. They lived in, you know, times of about 700 years. The people that were born after the Mabul, they only lived for 100, 200 years. That's because the fruits of the earth, they gave off less vitamins. There would have been a chash. Noach saw this with Ruach HaKadosh. Noach understood that the Mabul was going to take away the power of the earth. So maybe he's going to gather a lot of tefillah, right? So that after they get out of the Mabul, he'll be able to continue eating the same potent fruits even after the Mabul for them to live long. For that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Mikol Michael Asher Yeochel. You're only allowed to take the food that will be eaten in the table. Nothing else. Asher yeochel that will be eaten in the teva. Okay, so I have another answer. You know what? I'll take food that will be eaten in the teva, but I'm going to fast. I'm going to hold back on my food so that I'll have left over afterwards. For that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "V'hoyo l'chov v'lohem l'ochlo, I'm a chayv to eat it in the teva. You can't eat it afterwards." Meneva knows what happens afterwards. You're not going to be able to save anything from beforehand for after. As I learned from Chana Basim. There's a very interesting Gemara in the Sechta Sanhedrin Daf Kuf Ches Amid Beis. The Gemara says over there that Eliezer Eben Avram once met Shem Ben Noach. There was a difference of about 10 generations between them. But the Gemara says that Eliezer Eben Avram once met Shem Ben Noach. And he asked him, tell me, what was it like on the table? Tell me what life was like on the table. A very interesting question. So Shem ben Noach said, you should know that life was very hard over there. According to one Medrash, Noach did not sleep a whole time. That full amount of time they were on the table, Noach did not sleep. Why? There were certain animals that would only eat by day, and certain animals that would only eat by night, and at the balance, every animal ate at a different time. It was a job 24/7. There was one animal called Azekis, a certain berry, Rashi says, that we didn't know what it wanted to eat. We had no idea. We tried figuring it out, what it would eat. Until finally, it says, there was a pomegranate there, and there was a worm coming out of it, and the Zekas jumped on top of the worm and ate it up, so we knew that that's what the Zekas wants to eat. But my father was constantly probing what the different animals wanted to eat. It was a very, very difficult time. I mean, Rashi says it over here, Vayishor Ach Noach. So Rashi says that Noach was saying, Ach. He was krechtzing, and he was coughing up blood from the tirch of working so hard. So the question is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have brought Hatzolah in many different ways. So Rashi says, good, that he had to make a teva for 120 years, so that people should ask him, what are you doing? And he was going to tell them that a Mabul was coming. But why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu make it so difficult for him that he has to work so hard 24/7, Akidei Kach, he doesn't get to sleep, that he coughs up blood? Why did that have to be so difficult? Harbei Brachim Yeshlam Bachim. And if you have a tzaddik, Noach is tzaddik tamim, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu make it for him so difficult? So I heard of Shach B'Shem Rav Dessler, Zeichet Tzaddik Levracha, said, I'm already the Kipshat. He said, the yesoid of the chait of the Dor HaMabul was that they were takers. Life for them was taking in everything that they could take in for themselves. There was no giving to others, there was no giving to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They were selfish. Whatever they could, whatever hanor they could have, whatever taiva they could indulge in, they would take. They weren't very worried about others. They would steal from others. Take somebody else's wife. Mimashas as minam. They were pyrical. They didn't care about anybody else but themselves. They were complete takers. In order for the world to be rebuilt, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that world has to be built on the opposite extreme. It's a davar yadua. The Rambam says that a person in his avodas Hashem has to take the derech hamamutzeh. He has to take the middle road. What happens if a person is nitchel when he goes to one extreme? The only way to be misakin that is to go to the other, mamish, the exact opposite extreme. The world was destroyed because of the extreme that it came to. They were taking and taking and taking and not caring about anybody else. The Melech of his Baruch Hu said that the reconstruction of that Bria, when you rebuild the Bria, the rebuilding of the Bria can only come by giving and by giving and by giving. And the same way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the Bria L'chadchila, Olam Chesed Yibana, the binyan of the world L'chadchila was built on Chesed, that is the only way the world could be rebuilt to the opposite extreme, with giving and with giving and with giving, Olam Chesed Yibana. And that also is a tremendous lesson for us today, because in the outside world, in the secular world, everything is taking and taking and taking. And when you read that the ruination of our economy today came about only because of selfish businessmen, multi-millionaires that were selfish and kept on taking and taking and taking and set up deals to rook other people, and today the entire economy is suffering because of that. It comes about because of taking. We have to take a limud musaf for ourselves, that we have to give and to give and to give to others, to be mischassed with others. Olam chesed yibana, that is the only thing that can keep the world going today. Finally, the pasuk says that when Noach came out of the teva, so what did he do? The first thing he did was he planted a vineyard. And he became drunk. So Veichal Noach, Ish Ha'adama. Noach, the Torah calls him Ish Ha'adama. In the beginning of the parish, it calls him a tzaddik and a tamim, and now it calls him an Ish Ha'adama, a farmer. He was Mechalel himself. He shouldn't have been Isaac and planting vineyards. Look at Kula. The first thing you do is not to plant vineyards. The first thing you do is you Isaac in higher things and holier things. The Dubna Magid gives a Moedic marshal for this. Dubna Magid says that there was a fellow that was having problems with business. So he went to an Adam Gadol, please give me a brach. The Adam Gadol said that the first Isaac that you encounter, you know, invest in it, and the first Isaac you'll be Matzliach. So he goes home, he's in a rush to make an investment. So he tells his wife, bring me the money. Where's the money? It's hidden in the closet over there. Oh, he has hidden money. So she wants to start counting it. She starts counting slowly. No, bring me the money already. She's counting it. Will you bring me the money already? He gets all angry at her. He rushes inside and starts screaming at her. And she screams back, and he screams back at her, and she screams back. And they get into this big argument, and he ended up winning the argument. Came to the business deal, nothing doing, he wasn't Matzliach. So he goes back to his Rebbe, he said, Rebbe, you tell me the first Isaac had to be Matzliach. And the order, he says, tell me the whole story, how did it happen? So he told the Almighty, he came home, he had to fight with his wife, and he won the fight. He says, that's the problem. I told you that the first Isaac you'll be Isaac in will be blessed with tremendous bracha. What could I do if the first Isaac you were Isaac in was getting into a fight with your wife? I can't help that. Right? That's what the Torah is telling us over here. Wow. It's a davar yadua that after a terrible churban, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends down a tremendous amount of bracha. We saw it after World War II. After World War II, Klal Yisrael was decimated, and Klal Yisrael was able to rebuild Zayin Ruchnius, yeshivas. There were people that were paupers that became wealthy men in a very short period of time. Because after a zman of churban, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends tremendous bracha. And the name of Noach, you see the bracha. Chazal tell us the same day that he planted the vineyard, it grew, and it was already ripe enough that he became inebriated. He became drunk from the wine that he made from these grapes. Zetmah, the tremendous bracha that was chal right away. But that was the time on him. After a churban, you should have realized that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sending bracha, your first Asik should be not an Asik of Gashmias, it should be an Asik of Ruchnias. So davar yadua, I heard from Rabbi Shem, Rabbi Meisah, that happened with Rabbi Shaul Gusman, the Rosh Yeshiva of Netzach Yisrael. He hid out in the forest for years during the war, and finally, when the war was over, he and his Rebbetzin came back to Vilna. They were looking for a place to stay. He found a Vilna that was totally decimated. The old Batek Messias, the Batek Midrashis, were wiped out. A lot of the houses were wiped out. He came into this little side street, sort of like an alleyway, and he found a Beis Medrash that was Mole Svarim. The Nazis hadn't touched that. And then he found a house that him and his Rebbetzin could stay in. And then he tells his Rebbetzin, I'm going out. His Rebbetzin was pale. She was hungry. She mamish hadn't had a decent meal in who knows how long. He says, I'm going to go out and find some food. She tells him, what? You're going out to find food? You haven't opened up a Gemara like a mensch in years, and you have a Beis Medrash, you're sitting with Svarim, and that's what you're worried about now, is to find food. Go straight back to your Gemara. That's what he did. The first thing he did, upon the instruction of his Rebbetzin, she must have been an Isha Gedayla, the first Asik when he settled down was, he went back to the Beis Medrash. And that's what over here the Dugna Magid says. The first Asik should have been a more elevated Asik. It should have been more of an Asik in Ruchnius. And he didn't. Isha Adama, the Torah calls him an Isha Adama. Have a good Shabbos, everybody.